Welcome, Dr. Costello Garang. You are one of the participants in the High-Level Revitalization Forum for the Peace Agreement here in Addis Ababa. And 1 week has already passed. And for the sake of knowing who is who in the forum, it's good to introduce yourself.
Well, in fact, I attended the first hearing, pre-revitalization in Khartoum on the 10th of October last year. And my first position was that I was not supposed to attend because revitalization, those who come for revitalization are those who were in the negotiations. And we were not part of the negotiations because SSPM did not exist by then. So we thought that we should not be part of the revitalization, but the envoy, the IGAD envoy for South Sudan, Ambassador Ismail Weiss, said that I should say what I would have said if I would have attended the talks in Addis. So we made our position clear. I told him that, in fact, that we were against the agreement in the first place. Since we were against the agreement, we could not really make a big contribution. But we said that we are for peace, and for the sake of peace, I would send a delegation. So I sent Hussein and Malong Majok the first meeting in December. Then they came again for the workshop in January. And it seems that we have not yet made any breakthrough until now. So the main topics have been left behind. Yeah? People are talking about issues that people don't disagree on. But when we come to the governance and the issues, the main issues later on, I think it is not going to be easy.
Let me get also your views on the prolonged discussion and tense discussion over the cessation of hostilities agreement. There was so much emphasis from the peace partners like the IGAD and also the mediators and also from the African Union and the envoys and so forth. So much debate about that. And let's have your views about how do you feel about these issues of cessation of hostilities? What is the way forward?
You know, when you talk about cessation of hostilities, you say something like this when you are dealing with a person who really wants peace and who has his forces under control. If there is no security in Juba itself, yeah, we hear about these unknown gunmen who kill people in Juba. If there is no security in Juba, nobody is controlling all these forces inside Juba. I think that it would be very difficult for the government to control them, in other areas. We have Dr. Riek Machar is also in South Africa. And I think that it is very difficult for somebody who is under a semi-detention kind of stay to manage to control all his forces. In our case, it has been very easy because our forces are well organized and we know who is where, we know all the officers. And General Aganya Abdelbagi is on the ground. So it was simple for us to tell our people that there is cessation of hostilities. But see the situation in Law and Where. While people were talking about cessation of hostilities, the vice president was in the area. And there was also an offensive going on. Yeah? So it is very difficult also to convince the opposition that the cessation of hostilities is going to hold. You know, so personally, I think that the goodwill, is not yet there. You know, the goodwill is not yet there. When it comes, I think it would the cessation of hostilities would hold.
Do you think it's better that it is imposed from outside? It is being pushed by punitive measures than the personal will, real conviction of the parties?
Well, you know, the history of the world shows that if people are not willing to make peace by themselves, at the end you are forced to do it. We have seen that in the Second World War. The international community has to enter Germany to force Hitler out of power. Yeah. It was very bloody. People would have liked to have an easier solution. Personally, I have always been against intervention in South Sudan because I think that if forces from outside enter South Sudan, we don't know when they are going to leave. Yeah. It is easy for them, the UN forces always, it is easy for the UN forces always to enter a country, but it is very difficult for them to leave the area. So my position has been very clear from the beginning. No international intervention, but of course based on the fact that we were expecting the leadership of South Sudan to find the solution by their own. Yeah? What we are seeing now is that things have not improved. A peace agreement was signed. Riek Machar managed to go to Juba. And the peace agreement that was signed was not honored. And I have always said this. I have nothing against Abanding. On personal level, we have very good relations. I might even say he's a friend. Yeah. Politically, I don't think that you solve problems by choosing from another party whom the person you want to work with. Yeah. I made a good example that after Dr. John signed the CPA, if Bashir would have chosen Salva Kiir or Pagan-Amoom to be the vice president, for sure Dr. John wouldn't have accepted that. He would have seen that as a violation of the peace agreement. So by saying that, Riek Machar left, and Taban is now in his place, and he's implementing what would have been implemented by Dr. Riek Machar, and think that this is going to convince the international community that the peace agreement that has been signed is being implemented. That is not a realistic way of seeing things, you know. And this is going to be always an obstacle. Even now, in these talks, it is going to come up as an obstacle. As soon as the government talks about inclusive peace, people would say, what does this inclusiveness mean? Does it mean that Riek Machar is coming back and Taban is going to step down, or what does it mean, you know? Of course, you cannot say that inclusiveness means the IO takes part, but without its leader. You know, it is not my duty to talk on behalf of the IO because I'm not a member of the IO. Mm. Yeah? But I'm just showing you some of the examples of the difficulties that are going to face up. If people are serious, each party, each group chooses its people. Now let us look at what we are now saying, inclusiveness. That means that the ministries and the positions which were given to Riek Machar are going to remain with the group of Taban inside. And now the IO, which is outside, has also to be given more positions, which means that at the end they might have double of the positions which were given to them in the first agreement.
Yeah, but there is a follow-up question. Now the reality and practically we have two IOs, one in the government, one outside the government. And the discussions are going on about that might lead also to sharing of power share deal. How do you look at the internal dynamics of the IOs? Is there a way that these two factions can be reunited? What is the logic of representing a group that say we are one and then they are two in the government?
Yeah, well, you know, even the name itself, you cannot be in the government and be in opposition at the same time. You know, you cannot be an SPLM IO in the government. If you are in opposition, you cannot be in the government, you know. But the realistic way would have been if the two IOs agree to join the government, they should unite, you know. And they should unite. If they unite, it means that they will not be given new positions in the new cabinet, mm-hmm. yeah. It should be the sharing of the positions which they already have. Yeah? And the way I see it now, the main obstacle in the IO seems not to be the positions given to them, but who is going to be the first vice president. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the main position.
Yeah. Yeah?
And they should solve it by themselves. It can't be solved to them by the president.
There are positions being tabled, or rightly might be tabled, about the power share deals. But the general framework for the government of South Sudan, the transitional government of national unity, there are positions which let's take from the extreme, we say leaner government, smaller and leaner, and for more practical reasons, for ideal reasons. And then there is a tendency on the other side that for the sake of accommodation, let us bring in everybody on board, what you are calling as inclusivity. So we are between this, the ideal situation, and what we can say as a practical or pragmatic and compromising position, that let us bring in everybody for the sake of peace. Where do you fall?
Yeah, well, you know, there are many people who are in opposition, not because they want positions in the government, but because they want total change, restructure, the state to be restructured. My position is this. I think that South Sudan should be ruled by a collective leadership. Yeah, what you would say sovereign council of sovereignty council of state. Yeah, and I said that it should have a representative of Upper Nile, a representative of Greater Bargazal, of Equatoria, a representative of the modern forces, of the youth, of the women, of the army, 7 members, with the president. This group should be more or less like the political bureau. This is where most of the decisions are made. Because by having all the regions represented, most of the main tribes represented, the issue of Dinka dominating and running the country as they want, yeah, would no longer be an issue. And we'd have the president, and we should have a prime minister. The prime minister would be running the country. I also propose having a house of people, which used to be the House of Nationalities, so that the main tribes, all the tribes in the first place, but their chiefs, their main chiefs, are in that House of Nationality, so that if there are issues of grazing, of land, and so on, they are not discussed by intellectuals. You leave them to the chiefs, you know, to make their decision and to solve these problems. And the decision should be unanimous, not that the big tribes decide on the virtue of their majority, you know. They have to negotiate until they all agree that is the solution. Smaller parliament in Juba, 170, that was one of my proposals. And in the states, we go back to 10 states. Even that one itself is still too much for us. Because federalism means, like it is now in Germany, the state normally finances itself. You know, the state finances its cabinet, its parliament. The police is responsibility of the state. In South Sudan, what we did, we multiply the central government, you know. So in fact, even when we were having 10 states, it was the central government financing the 10 states. So if you have 32 states, you have 32 smaller, central governments. This is not the meaning of federalism. Also, federalism is not a modern kind of tribalism, you know, that you give each tribe its own state. Like the state I come from in northern Germany, we have a Danish minority from Denmark, a Danish minority. They have they can teach their language in their schools. They are part of the state. They have not been given their own state. We in northern Bargazal, for example, during the time of my father, of course, is the Dinka chief who has bordered to Raja. Raja used to be added to Awil. Yeah? Used to be one with Awil. Nobody was talking about Foroge and Malwal Dinka and so on. It was just seen, people were seen as one group. Mm-hmm. Now we have created, through the conflict which we have now, we have created some sort of consciousness for tribalism. Yeah? And each tribe wants to have its own state. If we do it like that, these states are not going to survive. They could not finance themselves, you know. So if we restructure it like this, it means that, first of all, this big parliament of 400 members has to be reduced to 170. There are so many members in the parliament who cannot even read what they are discussing. Yeah? The international community is not going to finance us, not going to support us based on we get the help to go and pay salaries. This is not what support is about. This is not what development is about. Yeah. This is not why we have to have states, you know. So now the people who caused the conflict, who created it, who did not stop it, they cannot be the people who would lead the transitional period. You know, this is the way I see it. The transitional period should be led by people who are capable to reconcile our people, to reconcile our tribes, you know, because this is the function of the transitional period. Mm-hmm. Reconciliation, disarmament of the tribes, you know, confidence building, yeah, these are the same things. Mm-hmm. But if you bring the same people who have been causing, creating conflict, whether they did it intentionally or not, we will have tension also in the interim period.
A lot of questions, of course, can come about what you have said, like the system of government you are proposing. It's not in the 2015 agreement. So it might be taken as something that should be going into the discussion over the permanent constitution of South Sudan. And it might not find a place here in this revitalization forum.
It doesn't need, you know, CPA was not in the Sudanese constitution, yeah, but still it was accommodated. It overrode the constitution. Yeah. The government now, the government is not adhering to the constitution now. We see it by the issue of dismissing governors and appointing them. The constitution was saying that people have to go for elections after 60 days and elect a new governor. Who is electing any governor now? Governors are dismissed today, tomorrow appointed, and after tomorrow they are dismissed again. Yeah, in a state of 10 states became 18, became 20-something. At the end, we ended up 30-something. This has nothing to do with the constitution. So what we are saying is that we want something that is going to bring peace and to lead to confidence building. Yeah, it is the restructuring of the leadership of the presidency. Yeah, the presidency has to be restructured. We are now going to 2018. The new elections were supposed to take place 2018.
Yeah.
Also, I don't believe that the interim period should be 3 years, because 3 years is not enough. I have been proposing 10, divided into 5-5. We go for 5 first. In these 5, we go for disarmament, confidence building, writing of the new constitution, and so on, building the new states, and all this. If after 5 years we are convinced that peace has been established, security is there, confidence is there, people have gone back to where they were, where Nwer and Dinka used to stay without even asking which tribe do you come from, then we could go for elections. But if after 5 years we have not achieved that, we should not just say that because 5 years are over, we'll go for elections. You know, they're talking about 3 years. The agreement of ARCUS was 2015. That means that we would have been going for elections now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And nothing has been done.
Yeah.
So the most important thing is that we have a goal, and we say this goal has to be achieved within this time frame.
But Doctor, there is this argument that this conflict between the elites in South Sudan, there is no way out of it, because you don't know how big is everybody, how powerful is everybody in terms of fellowship, in terms of political clout and all that kind of thing. It's only through elections that we can see who can really.
This is not true, because let me tell you this: if it is the matter of followership, I think that people rule in South Sudan according to how big your gun is. If you have a big gun and you have enough ammunition, you can rule. Yeah? If you come with wisdom and the truth only, and you have no gun, nobody will listen to you. This had now has established itself. Okay, so anybody talking about the followership and so on, they are just lying. Yeah, because even the SPLM as a party has been killed. Yeah, there is no SPLM now. It is just the name which is there, because the very leadership of the SPLM, yeah, is some of it is now in diaspora. I saw people like Pagana Mom, Rebecca de Mabur are all here, outside here, Dengalor, all these. These are members of the, these were the core membership of the SPLM when we were, I was a minister of the SPLM. So I was the Commissioner for International Cooperation and Development. The eldest ambassador alive, September 1983, I was the only ambassador who was elder than me was Benjamin Bull. And we killed him, you know? And we have the, we you know, the problem of the SPLM is that if you start wrong, and nobody corrects you, you don't, most of the people don't correct themselves, you know. People are talking here in the peace talks, we are talking about human rights, respect of human rights, respect of women rights, all this, you know. We in the SPLM, we started by killing our own leaders. We kill Oduho, we kill Majir, we kill Kerbino, we kill William Nguyen, we kill Joseph Malak. We kill our own leaders if we started killing our own leaders. Why are we going to respect the rights, the human rights of the normal citizen, you know? So the SPLM as a political party doesn't exist. I look at the SPLM today the way I was. I was, before when we started, I was also doubtful about it. I see it as the party of the army, okay? The army in South Sudan has a party, and they say this party is the party of the people of South Sudan. Even the hierarchy in the SPLM, they are keeping the hierarchy of the army, which we had when we were SPLA, you know? So the only thing left is that to have a system that allow a normal citizen who has no big gun and no enough ammunition to form his own party, which is the party of the citizens, mm-hmm. you know? But the way it is now, it is not going to work. Even if we give the government 10 years, you know, from now and say, okay, put it right. They're not going to put it right. You know, the international community gave President Kiir time. After Riek Machar left, after Riek Machar was kicked out of Juba, nobody complained. If you observed, the UN said nothing, the US said nothing, all the Western countries did not say anything, because people thought that, okay, maybe this would bring peace. If President Kiir and Dr. Riek Machar can work together, let us try General Taban and President Kiir. And peace was not achieved. You know, if they would have achieved peace in South Sudan, nobody would be talking about Riek Machar now. You know? But they went around, they didn't achieve it. Now we are back again to Addis Ababa. Yeah? And people like me who never thought that they would be forced to form their own group. I didn't like to form a group at all because I thought that it was not necessary. Yeah. We would find a solution within the existing SPLM. Yeah. Yeah? It didn't work. You know, people like me, I have been ambassador. The first food which came to the SPLM, the first medicine, the first mobile miles, they came from Germany to Ethiopia, 1984. I was the first person who brought them, you know, through the church here, Mekane Yesu, which is the evangelical church of Ethiopia. Those who were used to stand on the streets in Europe in snow and collect money to support the army. Later on, people were saying that these are not members of the SPLM because they were not trained. Okay? So the wing, which was fighting for the right of self-determination, who was mobilizing diplomacy abroad, yeah, was left out. If you see the political bureau which they had, who among the young people who were in Khartoum fighting and those who were abroad diplomats is represented in that one? Only the generals, yeah, who were in the high command and all this. So if that is the case, I think that the others who are excluded have the right to form their own movements and groups. Mm-hmm. If the issue, if it is going to be peaceful and is negotiated, we will all sit there together and talk, you know? Mm-hmm. If they say that you have, because if because they are forcing people to go and look for guns, yeah? If people don't listen to you and you are threatened and intimidated, you are forced to go to look for guns. You know? That is the situation they have brought everybody to.
We are having this exclusive discussion with you here, and we are left with 6 days. and 6 days, already 1 week has gone and has passed, and it seems there is little hope, according to what you are saying, there is little hope that a breakthrough might be reached and there might be a change of heart somewhere.
Well, you know, accommodation alone by giving people positions will not bring peace. You know, there should be a radical change. Because if accommodation alone would bring peace, there should be peace now in South Sudan. Yeah? General Taban has been accommodated with these people. The Nuer elders have been accommodated. Samdinka, like Dia Matoku, who were also with Dr. Riak, have been accommodated. And still, there is fighting in northern Bargaza, where Dr. Dio comes from. Okay, there are disturbances in other areas. Alfred Lado has been accommodated. Still, there is no peace in Equatoria. So there must be something wrong in the way the whole thing is approached. If you approach it by giving people positions alone, it won't bring peace. So the approach which I see now, from what I have heard, I have not attended the meetings yet, it shows that we are still following the same model of increasing the cabinet, bringing in new ministers, seeing how the presidency should be widened, yeah, but not widened in the sense of sovereign council, council of sovereignty. Because in the council of sovereignty, the members, they discuss. You know, the president does not decree things, you know. Things are discussed, and the seven members, or whether they are five members, have to agree. Yeah, of course, at the end, the president has a special vote, but not if the majority, agrees, on that, on what has to be done. So, by giving positions, I see that this is not going to lead to anything. Also, the international community. We need the support of the international community. The situation we are in South Sudan, we can't solve that problem alone. You know, we need the U.S., we need the European Union, we need all the friends of Southern Sudan abroad, those who help us to achieve our independence. We have even forgotten, if you hear some of our politicians talking in Juba, you think that we achieved our independence without any support from anybody. Yeah, Lifeline Sudan has been forgotten. Yeah, those who stood with us to achieve this have been forgotten. If they come and say that, you people, you are following the wrong path, they say these foreigners should not interfere with our affairs. Yeah, you know, in the whole world of today, there is no right to be allowed to commit suicide. Nobody would allow us to commit suicide because we are ignorant enough to solve our own problems. So if we can't solve the problems alone, intervention is going to take place, you know. And those who say that they have the right to commit suicide would be forced out, because the majority of Southern Sudanese people, they want to live. They don't want to die.
Let's conclude with a message from you about the prospects for peace and also for the people of South Sudan.
Well, I am sure that peace is going to come to South Sudan this year. Peace is coming. Peace is going to come, I hope, until around July, August. We should have peace in South Sudan. If we don't have it now, if we are not quick enough, strong enough to do it by our own, the international community would have to help us achieve peace. Yeah. So I think that this year is the last year in which the conflict would continue the way it has been going on in South Sudan.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Doctor. Thank you. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.